Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We keep a phone line open for our listeners, especially our dearly beloved on-demand listeners. 618-223-8382. We call it the Issues Etc. comment line, and that's what it's for. Any time of day or night, anytime you're listening and you have a question, a comment, a show suggestion, something to add to the conversation, even if you're listening way past the broadcast date, the live broadcast date, we welcome your comments, your criticism, your show suggestions at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. And as often as we can, we like to respond to the various comments that our listeners make there at the Issues Etc. comment line. The number again, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with a comment on a recent show we did, I think with Pastor Tom Baker, talking about the transition of both the prophecy, the office of prophet, and the spirit between the Old Testament prophet Elijah and Elisha.
Hi, this is Annabelle from Kansas City. I listened to your segment on Elisha, and I have a question about the term double portion. What does that mean exactly? From the way I understood it, double portion means that Elisha was able to prophesy and that secondly, he was able to perform miracles. And please correct me if I'm wrong, and please explain it to me. I would appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Well, the double portion of the Spirit is, I think that certainly is a legitimate way of understanding it, that he is both a prophet and able to perform miracles. Of course, Elijah, his predecessor, is able to do that as well. The particular passage that we're looking at there is 2 Kings chapter 2, the very beginning of 2 Kings, and it kicks off with Elijah leaving, or actually Elijah and his disciple Elisha being told that Elijah is going to leave, and then Elisha kind of chases Elijah around the countryside, refusing to leave his side. And at one point in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, when they had crossed the Jordan, Elijah said to Elijah, and he keeps telling him to just stay and let him go. He says, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. Elijah responds, you've asked for a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And we kind of know the rest of the story from Sunday school where he does see him go. He cries out, my father, my father. And the mantle that Elisha has been using to work his miracles, this cowl or whatever he wears around his body, falls from Elisha. Elisha picks it up and takes it as his own, and then he's able to do miracles with it as well. It's kind of a visual transfer of that double portion of the Spirit. But what does double portion mean? I think when we were talking with Pastor Baker, he got very close to this in the course of his explanation. He said that this is really about father and son, in this case, spiritual father and son. And just as when a father dies, he leaves an inheritance, a blessing and an inheritance to his children. So in this case, the firstborn son gets a double portion. If there are two sons, the firstborn son gets two-thirds, and the secondborn son gets one-third. Well, Elisha is there. He's the only son. And this double portion doesn't just mean that he's getting two-thirds of the spirit that Elisha has. This is kind of family language, inheritance language, to explain that what Elisha gets from Elijah is the full measure of the spirit that God had poured out on the first prophet. He gets the full inheritance. And their way of saying this is double portion. What we don't want to think here is that somehow Elijah has a portion, only one portion, and that Elisha gets double the spirit. That's not what the language in its context means. It simply means a full portion, the full measure of the Spirit that Elijah had had as prophet in Israel. And it's couched in the language of inheritance, where the firstborn son gets a double portion of the inheritance. So what do we see immediately happen there in Elisha's ministry? He continues without interruption to do exactly the same things that Elijah had done before him. In other words, God's Spirit, in an unbroken way, is transferred from Elijah to Elisha. Not that Elisha didn't have it before, but now in this manifest way. And Elisha is as much prophet in Israel, man of God is the term that they use, as was Elijah. That's the best way to understand this. He carries out Elijah's ministry completely. And the analogy here is for Jesus giving his Spirit in its fullness to his church, in particular to his apostles, who carry out Jesus' ministry exactly as Jesus did. It's pointing forward to all of that.
This is Herman calling October 17th and commenting on the October 16th presentation by a guest, Dr. Purdom, of Answers in Genesis, on Bill Nye, the Science Guy's comments about everything is made up of stardust. She had the whole picture and nailed correctly, including the implications that by supposedly under this sort of naturalistic paradigm of dislocating any claim for divine accountability and order in the universe so that one can live whatever amoral life one chooses, but the price that comes with that is to live in a pointless and meaningless universe that says you're just dust and nothing but that and have no future beyond the moment. It's curious as to the public relations appeal of the media embracing this naturalism and trying to tell people you're not sophisticated unless you disbelieve the Bible and pick up their version of what they call science, which in terms of the origin of actual science, which came out of biblical Christianity, is certainly a disingenuous statement. So people are being bamboozled to try to feel that, well, you're not modern and scientific and advancing the human race unless you disbelieve the Bible and embrace evolution, etc. The consequence to that is to embrace meaninglessness in one's existence. So not only did she handle the science side, but she handled also the moral and spiritual side as well, pointing to that. Well, thank you very much.
Well, there's a lot to say here. First of all, let's ask a few questions with regard to people who want to hold to an old view. And here we are talking about Christians who want to hold to an old view of the universe. You can't wade in this stuff, okay? This is the deep end of the pool, right? You can't wade into it gradually and say, I'm only going to go this far. It drops off like a shelf into the deep end. So people who say, I just want to have a little bit of that 13.8 billion years that science seems to indicate as the age of the universe. I want to have just a little bit of that, pick and choose what I want. Well, Bill Nye's being consistent. He really is. When he says we are made of the stuff of stars, he's operating from the best knowledge that science is offering right now for the age of the universe and where we came from. Here's the kind of basic problem. In order to get what we are made of today, all these elements, you can't start with just helium and hydrogen. You have to have actually three generations of stars over 13.8 billion years that progressively form heavier and heavier elements so that the Earth can form, so that we can form, and evolution take its course. Bill Nye's being consistent. He's simply saying, if this is what it's true, if there is only matter, only energy, and only forces, if there is only blind matter, blind energy, blind forces, completely unguided in any way, and that's what the theory says, then we are made of the stuff of stars. And that's all we are. We are just a very sophisticated combination of matter, energy, and the forces. That's why you can't wade into this stuff. You can't have just a little bit of it. You got to have it all, one way or the other. Who's being inconsistent in this? Those who want to try and construct and live in a halfway house between Bill Nye and the biblical account of creation. Bill Nye's being consistent with the theories, the current theories. His conclusions make perfect sense based upon what science is saying about the age of the universe. Those who are being inconsistent are those who say, I just want an old universe, but I don't want to buy into all the blind matter, blind energy, blind forces. Look, it's all or nothing. It is simply window dressing to try and put God at the far end of a undirected evolution of the universe. You can put him there. That's not where he puts himself. He puts himself at the beginning of a six-day creation. And of course, you're quite right. The implications here aren't only scientific or only theological. They're profoundly moral, too. Because if all I am and all you are just the conglomeration of blind matter, blind energy, blind force, then the universe really is meaningless. And you know who's being consistent on that one? The evolutionist. They're being consistent. It's tragic, but they're being consistent. Next week, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is going to be hosting the 14th annual Good Shepherd Institute. This year's theme is an open conversation on music in the church. They're calling it a look at the elephant in the room. You can find out more about the Good Shepherd Institute at ctsfw.edu, or you can call them, area code 260-452-2224. 260-452-2224. The Good Shepherd Institute is November the 3rd through the 5th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu will not be disappointed, or 260-452-2224. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about media coverage of the royal baptism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.